In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Good friend of mine named Randy Dean, pastor of Living Word Chapel down in Forest, also a bishop in his denomination, and a darn good one if you ask me, he does these weekly podcasts that I find quite uplifting. This week his theme was, Where Are the Dreamers? The basic idea was that when it comes to the kingdom of heaven on earth, when it comes to God's presence and the spread of God's love and mercy, we need to dream big. That Christianity in our communities is still in its infancy. The world is not post-Christian, but pre-Christian. And the love of Christ has only just begun to touch the hearts of our neighbors. And there's a lot of truth in that, because every generation has to encounter Christ themselves. Therefore, every generation as it is being born is, in a sense, pre-Christian. So who's going to dream big for how to share our faith with the new generation? This amazing Christ with a world that doesn't know him. And then I'd like to repeat Randy's question for us. Where are the dreamers? Do we dream of what our community could be like if Christ were to spread, if his love were to spread, if his mercy were to be the first thing in people's hearts? What could our communities be like? Now, I'm not talking about more religious hoops for people to jump through. I'm dreaming about the love and mercy of Jesus Christ spreading in our neighborhoods and our communities to broken people. You know who is a dreamer like that? Our deacon Nick Zube was a dreamer like that. He always had on his mind the idea of Christ being shared, no matter where he was. You know, whether he was inspecting turkey plants, whether he was delivering meals on wheels, whether he was preparing for a service, his dream was that the love of Christ would be shared, that the love of Christ would give hope to the people around him. One of Deacon Nick's favorite lines in Scripture, and that's what made me think of him this morning, was read this morning. It's Jesus' words, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything you need will be added to you." With all the worries in the world around us, seek first the kingdom of God. Now, seek is a very active verb. It's a very active verb. It doesn't mean to look up every now and then and see if the kingdom of heaven has arrived. We've all played the game hide and seek at one point or another in our lives, most of us. The game is no fun if the seeker, when they finish counting, just stands by home base and just waits for everybody else. That gets all the hiders very irritated. The game is exciting. The game gets its joy when the seeker actually goes out and seeks. When the seeker looks behind bushes, when they run around sheds, when they climb up trees, when they dive into the shadows. When there's some active chasing going on, that's what makes the game fun. And that's where the game gets its name, hide and seek. If we're going to seek the kingdom of God, we've got to be active. And notice Jesus doesn't say, seek the kingdom of God when you have a few spare minutes. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. We seek the kingdom of God with every interaction. We dream of ways to share the love of Jesus Christ in ordinary circumstances. We have a vision, even if it's just a vague vision, of what an increase in mercy could mean to the world around us, and then we do our part. Brothers and sisters, do we even dream of the spread of the kingdom of God? Do we actively seek to spread that love to the shadows and around the sheds of this world? Is it in our hearts to say, gosh, there's a shadow on that person's heart. I'm going to seek a way to bring the light there. You know, that should be our first thought with the people we encounter. I share a story from my other job. There's someone I see regularly who's always struck me as both odd and wounded. It's amazing how often those two things go together. They're very rough around the edges. I've known this person some 3 years now. Just this week, this person suddenly shared with me some really dark family history. It's funny the things people will share over a bank counter. You almost feel like the proverbial bartender sometimes. This person's parents died when they were a child. The siblings at the time, and there were a lot of them, were split up, sent to various foster cares. Some were adopted, some were not. Bad things happened to some of them in foster care. And this person who is so rough for 3 years is suddenly extremely vulnerable and on the verge of tears, explaining to me this family history right there in a bank window. One of the things this person said to me was, and that's why, and forgive me, but I'm going to quote them directly, that's why I don't have any time for this God crap. That was this person's exact words. But when it comes from a wounded heart like this person, you got to wonder what God has been presented to them. Maybe it's a God that doesn't deserve their faith because of the way God was presented. And so the question for us is, do we have a vision for people like that that will present to them the true God, the God of mercy and the God of light, the Jesus of the kingdom in those circumstances? The last thing a person like that needs is religious hoops to jump through. What they do need is compassion and love and mercy and a lot of patience, and in other words, to be Christ to them. To be the Christ that we declare we've put on at our baptism. And if seek is an active verb, I'm compelled to actively seek the kingdom of God in situations like that and for people suffering like that. I'm with Randy Dean. I believe Christianity, genuine Christ-centered Christianity, is still in its infancy in most communities and most hearts. The love of Christ has only just begun to touch the hearts of our neighbors. And therefore, I'd like to echo his question. Where are the dreamers? And who is going to dream big in our generation for how to share this amazing Christ with the world? Amen.